Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences as well as talk about all things EV and technology. My name is Eric. We have Chase. We got Will. How you guys doing?
Doing good. I'm in a weird spot. My whole house is empty right now. The dog is at the vet or at the dog hotel, and my family's in Florida. I'm going to join them tomorrow, but for tonight, completely empty house.
Oh, so they left already?
Yeah, they already headed out, and then because I was working the last 2 days, so I wasn't able to fly the same day, and then today to kind of tie up things here. But yeah, it's just weird being how I'm alone.
You're just gotta run around in your socks and underwear now. And
I mean, who's to say I've got anything other than a shirt on and glasses?
I wasn't gonna ask you to pan down.
I'm gonna get real quick.
That's funny. That's awesome. That is funny. Yeah. Wait, enjoy, you know what? It's funny. It's one of those things where whenever, you know, you always want like your alone time, right? Where you sit there and go, man, it'll be nice if like no one was here. I could just kind of put a game on, grab a beer, whatever the case is, and just kind of hang out and just chill out. And then when they're all gone, you're like, what the hell do I do now? At least that's my case. So
I've been sitting here constantly wondering because the dog was here. But then I took her to the vet or to the pet hotel today. And so, yeah, like the majority of my time, because I drove my family to the airport yesterday morning. So I saw them off, but I also dropped the dog off. But this, like this whole afternoon, I've been like, where is Sky? Oh, wait.
Yeah. All that muscle memory.
That's what it is. Yeah, so you're taking off. You're going to Florida. When do you get back?
Get back a week from tomorrow, so the 14th.
Okay. And then I leave, ironically, to Florida on the 11th and get back the 18th. Uh-huh. So next week's podcast is going to be a little bit challenging. We'll see if we still have it or not, but I'm willing to do it from the hotel or something if I need to. Yeah. We'll figure it out. But totally. Yeah, let's get into some news. Well, first of all, we got a full chat over here. Yellowstone 2016 is in chat. Ben's saying hi. Jay's in the chat saying hi. And Bill's saying hi. So, hey, guys, thank you for coming back. Wanted to show a fun little thing, and I think this is up our alley a little bit, Will. Sorry for singling you out. But Tesla released their Mezcal.
Ah.
So, you okay. know. I think that's...
I'm curious. I want to know more.
Well, it's $450.
Wow.
if you want to know that.
There, I know more. Good.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Maybe I'm just a cheap date, but it's like beyond a certain price level, I do not have the distinguished palate to tell you the difference.
Well, you know, I think most people that buy these, you know, Tesla came out with their tequila, what was it, a few years ago?
And I think most
people, yeah, I think most people just use it for something to put on their shelf. It's kind of like a trophy type of situation.
Completely.
They went away from the clear bottle and they went with this, what looks like a matte or satin black bottle. So it's pretty sleek, really cool looking. It would look really great next to my Cybertruck if my wife is listening and she wants to get me a Father's Day gift. So.
Well, I do have a $700 credit burning a hole in my pocket. So
okay, well, see, Chase, this is there why you I go. Like you, Chase.
Take it on the trip.
Well, this is why I like also you.
Notice, speaking of outrageously priced things in their store, just to mention that the cyber hammer, like the sledgehammer, was $700. I don't know if that was like a coincidence.
I think that was a coincidence. No, it was not. They wanted people to use their vouchers. But speaking of vouchers that are given out, something that's kind of irked me a little bit is the fact that they are now giving $2,500 vouchers to those who purchase a Cybertruck so they can use in their store, and you can use that for your PowerShare home backup equipment. This is something that wasn't given to me. I had my PowerShare installed 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I actually called today for the inspector to come out to, you know, do the inspection. And I didn't get a $2,500 voucher. So not sure if this is something that I can call and get. I doubt it, but.
Yeah, because it would offset the cost because you still had to pay out of pocket having an all-wheel drive
yes.
for the install cost. Mm-hmm. That would have at least helped offset some of that.
And it was almost exactly $2,500 for the install. So that would have that would have helped me. So
as people follow along, this has been one of my biggest gripes from the beginning of like Cybertruck ownership with given the fact that we have the dual motors. I definitely have it on my list to call Tesla to try to get some kind of answer because I'm in the same boat. I decided to wait on the install. The installer canceled my order, and then Tesla came back at me and it was like, oh, since you canceled, here's the $700 credit. So in theory, I'm short $1,800 that I would have gotten anyways. So definitely want to track that down and see if it's even possible.
Well, I'm sure once you track that down and find out, get an answer from them, we'll go ahead and share that with everyone. Hopefully you're successful. So anybody that's taking delivery already, like Jay or anybody else, you know, they can get their credit because I know I want mine.
I know, Will, you even said that when you talk to one of the installers that about like if you could just get the equipment, if they would just leave it. I wonder if I could contact the original installer and ask them, well, if I can't get the $25 credit, can you just get me the equipment that you were going to install anyways? And just hold on to the hardware?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, you know, tell them, okay, well, I mean, if it's my equipment, I'd appreciate if you returned it to me.
Right.
And I'll discuss with you later if I want you to install it. You know, I mean, imagine you could give them any number of excuses about the timing not being right, but you still want the equipment to have the option.
Totally.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's maybe one of the issues with Tesla is the fact that, especially in these early days of new vehicle launches, there's not a lot of options. It's kind of just take it or leave it, you know? And, you know, what are you going to do?
It's honestly been kind of a thing, you know, like with the story before from the solar installers and getting it moved. There's, and I think that this is something that, you know, is still, again, as somebody who's really loved the company since 2017 and been driving the cars, I think that there's been a follow through thing that I think is honestly the undercurrent of a lot of what you're seeing going on with Tesla is the fact that they're very aggressive about the sale, about getting you sold on these things. But there's a follow-up issue that I don't think that it's not like, you know, verbalized necessarily, but it's an expectation you have of a timeliness of getting the things that you're expecting as a part of it. And I don't know if they've like maybe slipped into just a bad habit of like, well, man, consumers will just let us kind of really stretch it over the FSD thing, so maybe we can kind of, okay, the features are coming soon. You know, they don't really have any kind of like urge to really get it solved all the way through. And I'm thinking that maybe that like it's a bad habit that they've kind of developed over time. So yeah.
It's almost wild that a company will take your money for something you purchased and not actually give it to you. Looking at UT Sportline. There's my light.
Oh no. Oh geez.
Although I will give them a little bit of credit. I asked them, I sent an email and asked for an update and said it should be shipping sometime later this month. So
okay.
We'll see.
Huh?
I still want my labor.
That was recently? You emailed?
I just got a reply back today.
Okay. All right. Well, fingers crossed for you, man.
Because I'm definitely not going to get the Tesla one anytime soon.
No. And I wonder if, you know, all these... Because the Cyber Beasts are supposed to have that LED light bar, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're obviously not shipping with them, and none of us have Cyber Beasts, so it's not like we can comment on it, but I wonder if I don't even know why I say I wonder. I think we know. There's no communication as to whether they're getting it or when they're going to get it or any information, so.
Or the updated AeroCaps. I think it looks like they're ready to ship those. If not, they've been already shipped, because I know they're shipping the all-terrain wheel, or not the all-terrain, sorry, the street tire wheels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. No word there either.
Not surprised. I did want to talk about, though, that I recently, or this weekend, I was at the Electrify Expo, and that was a really cool experience because I was able to take a look at a lot of the new EVs that are coming out. I was able to see the Rivian R3X up close, ooh, which was really cool. Yeah. I will say that that car is bigger than I thought it was going to be, in a good mm-hmm. way. The interior looked spacious. They didn't let us get into it because they had it roped off, but I was able to get it to arm's length, and really impressed with that vehicle. I'm really excited about it. I think that thing's going to sell out like crazy. That thing's going to be amazing. So this is the show here.
That's awesome.
So for anybody that is looking to go, and you can test out e-bikes and electric scooters, and I was able to see the Pebble electric RV travel trailer. I was able to not only see the living vehicle trailers that they have there, but also I was able to talk to them about the Cyber trailer, which I know we talked about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Really cool. They gave me some inside information on that, which I can't disclose, but that thing I think is going to be really, really cool, and I can't wait for that. So there, I believe next show is in Denver in July. So for anybody that's out in that area that wants to go take a look and spend the weekend just kind of hanging out with the family and kids and looking at all the EVs, I would highly, highly suggest doing it. And then I believe they're going to San Francisco, Seattle, and going out to Chase's territory out there in Austin in November. So just kind of wanted to share that because I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun, and figured our audience would want to know about it.
Yeah.
One thing that I did see there that I wanted to share as well was, if I can find it here, I have been in need of an e-bike rack, bike rack for my Cybertruck, right? Because now I am getting into these e-bikes, and I'm using King Bull e-bikes, and but all the racks that when I've gone online, gone on Amazon, checked out at local sporting goods, they can't hold the weight of an e-bike. So I've been kind of frustrated not being able to find something. This company, Radnor Rack, was out there. They're from Utah. They were out at the Long Beach Electrify Expo. I was talking to them, and they make a rack for e-bikes. And as you can see right here, they even, because e-bikes are a little heavier, one of the arms comes down and it acts as a ramp. So you can wheel up your e-bike onto the back of the rack, and it makes it real easy and secure getting your e-bike on there. And so wanted to share that as well, because if there's anybody out there with e-bikes and is interested in finding a rack and they're frustrated not being able to find one, this was a cool company that that I found there. So I wanted to share that as well. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Especially how do you like your bikes?
I love them. The King Bull bikes, one thing that, you know, I've been working with them a little bit for the last 2 months or so, and the pricing is really aggressive. So they're not overly expensive. I mean, at this Electrify Expo, I was looking at bikes. I mean, there was bikes for
$12,000. Oh, e-bikes. Yeah. Oh, I believe that.
It gets crazy. And I'm sure there's a lot of different factors, right? There's special things that go into some of these things. But if you're just a casual biker, like someone like myself, and you just want an e-bike, the King Bull, I mean, it's built really nice. It's sturdy. It's strong. And it's not that expensive. I love them. I love them.
But I'll take a look at it. I've got this monstrosity that I got from AliExpress back during COVID, and I mean the bike has held on, but there's definitely been like a not entirely confident feeling in what riding on. So I'll check them out. But yeah, because it's funny because like watching it over the last like 4 years, there's been this huge pricing battle between what's available even on Amazon, like the stuff that makes it through Alibaba or AliExpress to Amazon. It's a bike with a battery. It's not a lot of sophistication. A lot of these newer companies really have some really cool things. That a $12,000 bike, I'm like, that's a really one of a kind design for a bike.
Yeah.
You know, somebody will spend $12,000 for that. Me, not me, but somebody. you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's people, I was talking to people at that show, and they're really into it, and they own those $12,000 bikes. So, I mean, if you're into it, more power to you. I'm just not that, you know, I use it when I go camping, you know, especially now. What really is making me use these e-bikes even more is that before when I had my Ram with the 8-foot bed, I have an electric golf cart that I would, with a ramp, put on the back of my truck, and then I'll hitch up our trailer and go camping. And that was our kind yeah, that was what we would use at the campgrounds. Can't do that in the Cybertruck, unfortunately. So I'm using e-bikes. I'm throwing them in the back of the truck and then hitching up the trailer and then going, and then we're using the e-bikes around the campgrounds. But I would like to put a rack on the back of the trailer. And so I've been searching and shopping around, and like I said, I found these guys, and they're really cool guys, you know, small little company and super quality product. But if you're looking for that e-bike, Will, let me know. If once you look, I'll send you the email address and or the website, and then I have a coupon code I could give you if you're interested. Right. So,
because there was one that caught my eye recently, came up in my algorithm. The Ego has one for like $2,000. It's like a 28 mile per hour kind of top speed.
Yeah, little,
like just to piddle around. It's exactly that. It's kind of like a it's kind of a big boy's toy, not necessarily
exactly
replacing a, not a motorcycle, but something just to get around with.
Yeah, the King Bull goes 28 miles per hour, has a 50 mile range. They have a mountain bike version, they have a cargo version, they have a fold up version, they have you know, they have all kinds of things, and I think they're most of them are around the $1,000 mark, you know, price.
Yeah,
price
range, and yeah, and these are the right. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, these are like, in my opinion, these are the right prices, because it's like I've seen e-bikes where it's like, you know, they have the audacity to charge like $1,900 or $2,000, and then you look at the specs, and the battery's like a 10 amp hour battery on a 350 watt motor, and you know. It's like you want something that's a little bit more future-proofed and more capable if you're in a hilly area or whatnot. So,
yeah,
this is cool. This is good to see.
Yeah. Okay, so I know that was a big event this weekend. There was another event going on this weekend. If I could,
anybody and their cousin was telling me about it. I heard plenty about it, but I couldn't go. And if it's the one you're talking about,
It was the. The big cyber rodeo. Go ahead and talk about that, Chase.
Yeah, so probably the world's largest collection of Cybertrucks outside of like the Gigafactories and Tesla themselves. This is a really big, you know, basically kind of promoted as like an off-road event, but basically just to get as many Cybertrucks together in one location as possible. So they're shooting for 100, and we've got about 90 that were able to go up there to Gatesville. It's either Gatesville, yeah, it's Gatesville, Texas, which is kind of like up around Waco, because they went to the Domo off-road park. And that was kind of the big idea. They closed down the whole park, and they brought in all the Cybertrucks and allowed for some really cool off-road moments, and got some pretty cool footage out of that for sure, because they set up a track and allowed everyone to like kind of rip it through, which is really cool for a lot of Cybertruck owners, because I feel like there's so many owners that have bought the Cybertruck that have never taken a truck off-road before. Mm-hmm. And this is their intro to off-roading. And that's kind of really cool to see, because this is perfectly timed right after the spring update, which gave us, you know, more off-road capability. And yeah, it's really cool. These are also, you can see the guys sitting in the back of the truck are the Exotic Network. They're a great group of guys around here in Austin that I've worked with. We've done the Austin Grand Tour and a couple of other events here in Austin, so they were definitely a big part of this to try to make this happen, and they made the news. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, that's wild. 90 Cybertrucks.
That's pretty cool.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
We got a lot of views. Made the news. Elon's mom had tweeted about it, so it was pretty big.
You know it's big. If Elon's mom tweets it, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know if they closed down any of the highways for this, or was it just they just all got on?
Mass.
That's crazy. Imagine seeing that. Imagine just driving, not knowing this was going to happen, and you just, and it's like, oh, you know, it's one of those things where people still get excited about seeing a Cybertruck. And so it's like, imagine you see one and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you look and you're like, wait, there's two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Yeah. The question is, like, what is it called? Like, is it like a flock or gaggle? Like, the words for a group of Cybertruck is up for debate at this point. But yeah, shout out to Anterbeck. He runs, you know, the Tesla Geek Show. That's another, you know, good podcast, as well as the Austin Tesla Club. Really great guy. He was the one that, if you remember, we did an event where we spray painted the Cyberpunk Cybertruck. He was the guy that you know, I was talking to, Matt, and he was like, hey, do you want me to FaceTime Sandy Monroe? And we're like, all right, cool. Here we go. So great guy. He used to work actually with SpaceX, I believe, back in the day. Really awesome Cybertruck owner as well. I unfortunately had my wife and I's anniversary that same day, so I was off chilling by a pool with my lovely wife. So,
okay, I'll make sure I edit out you saying "unfortunately."
Oh, this is live, sir. Actually,
I take it down and then I edit it.
She knows
and...
I really wanted to go, but I made the right decision.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Let me. I can go on record as saying, as somebody who works in live television, usually you shoot if you do it the first time and it's live, but in general they always do a second broadcast of it and then they have the library tape version of it. They frequently will go back and revise or edit out, or will shoot something again and pretend as though that was the original one that went to air.
Kind of like how Netflix did your girl Kim in on the Tom Brady roast.
Oh gosh!
Don't get him started, okay? Don't get him started.
They cut out some stuff from that after the fact.
He's home alone. We don't want him to
come on.
Get too aggressive.
Why don't you turn this camera off?
That's a cool event. I would have loved to have been there, you know. But
I just also think about everybody that's ever approached me when I had the truck being like, oh, this is my first time seeing one in person.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, I'm seeing one in person. I'm like, what if you saw 90 on the road with
that
you?
You'd
be like, holy shit, Terminator is happening right now. Like, you know, the Transformers are rolling out. God, I hope they're Autobots. Yeah,
exactly. The cavalry has arrived.
Uh-huh.
I'll pull it up for later, but there was one clip in particular that was kind of interesting. It shows the durability of the Cybertruck not being able to flip. That was very interesting. It came out of that event, and it kind of went around and has its own.
It's a very bizarre thing to focus on, but hey, it makes for good content, for sure.
People want to know. You'll be surprised the things that people want to know. Well,
I used to work in IT. I saw people's Google search histories. I know that they want to know a lot.
Yeah, I gotcha.
If you ever since Chase,
it's a little bit of a highlight. It's basically the first clip in the beginning. It kind of shows how far they were able to get that thing to go up.
Okay, let's see. I'm gonna pull this up real quick. Bear with me, everyone. Turn off the audio.
In case anyone is ever in doubt, the capability off-road that this truck can do out of the box.
Yeah, they're taking... look at all those Cybertrucks. I love how they're just in line, like kids at school.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I love
they've never off-roaded, so they see the dirt road. They're like, I can't possibly go around this guy. You know?
Yeah, exactly, right?
There's no possible. It's like, come on, guys.
I think it clipped out, but like the very first like frame of the
right
shot.
Here.
Yeah, right through here. Yeah, you can see this little like whip that people have been taking. Only one got stuck, as far as I can tell.
Hang on. Hey, can you pause it? I'm counting the lug nuts. Hang on. Get back to the rope.
Right there. Let's count.
Enhance. Enhance.
No, see, no Turo renters taking that one. Yeah. That was the difference. Now, that's cool. That looks like a lot of fun. That's I'm actually working my way to get my Cybertruck to off-road status. So so we're going to go ahead and
get there.
Hopefully get there. Yeah, and I actually at the expo again, I met some guys there because my Cybertruck was showcased in the expo, and where they parked me next to a very nice gentleman, Ian. if Ian's listening, and he owns a Rivian, and he takes it off-roading. I mean, he's a big off-roader with his Rivian, and so we were just talking, and he said, next time we go out, I'm going to call you and invite you over, and we're gonna take you out. Yeah. We're going to take you off-roading. Nice. So, I'm looking forward to that. Real quick, I had a comment from last episode from Byron, and he asked me, and Will, if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to, but no, he sure. asked why, specifically, why did Will sell his Cybertruck? Well, now he's in the chat, and he's asking, Will, why did you sell your Cybertruck? So,
I mean, including a lot of the drama that I had mentioned from the service center would be dishonest of me. It's a simple thing of I've held on to that Cybertruck reservation since literally the night it was announced in 2019. And, you know, like everybody, I was really, really anticipating it. And when I had the opportunity to get one, I saw it as one of those, okay, this has been 4 years in the making, and I'm really, really excited to kind of see this come to fruition. Whatever may happen shortly thereafter. Now, to kind of put that in the parentheses of the context of the last year or so, I work in the film industry. Last year, we went into the Writers Guild and SAG negotiations, and there was a very, very long strike that did a lot of damage to the film industry. And once it was completed in November of 2023 is right around the time that they started delivering. So I was expecting work to return to normal like a lot of us were. And so when I had the opportunity to buy, I was like, I'm really just, I don't mean to wax philosophical, but it's that whole, I'm at a point in my life when I don't have too many YOLO plays left, I definitely shouldn't be. So I saw it as a closure of all of that excitement that I still honestly genuinely feel about the truck, and was thinking about it just the other night where I was like, you know, I really hope that in a couple of years when I'm able to kind of consider buying another one, it's more feasible for me. But the closure of the question, my answer to that question is just this year, January came around, a lot of work that we were expecting did not return back, and a lot of it's moved overseas. And we just have not seen any of the recovery in our industry that that we would have expected, to the point where, I mean, I know so many friends who are filing for bankruptcy, leaving the industry, going back to school, just so many things are being disrupted by it. And it kind of came down to, you know, survival for me meant kind of slimming down on things. And the truck did a great job. I absolutely loved driving it around. I still think that keeping it clean, and if it's not wrapped, is just a nightmare. You're begging for trouble. Just get it wrapped until somebody comes out with something, you know, just some sort of a code. But it was just kind of the culmination of, I was able to get it at the time, but I didn't see what I expected my life to be kind of returning to when it comes to work. So it really just kind of came down to a financial decision to be like, okay, I think it's time that I make things as simple as possible for the time being, because who knows how much longer this will last.
Totally. Well said. Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, we're all completely transparent and honest, you know, ever since we started this whole thing, that of our situations. And like I said, ourselves too, that we treated it like a business decision because of the price increase. Yeah. You know, we don't have just $100,000 to like just blow in cash on, you know, a fun vehicle. So we kind of have to be more strategic and smart about it. And if it wasn't doing as well as it is on Turo currently, then maybe, yeah, we'd be in the same situation. Because I even talked to my wife about it even before we got into this. We were like, okay, it's a business decision. It's not, yeah, you know, a fun car to have. So we're finding our own ways to be able to justify the cost and make it make sense. But yeah, at the end of the day, if it doesn't, then you got to do what you got to do. So, yeah.
And I will definitely say that it's like when it came down to the decision to get rid of it, it kind of, I'll be honest, I'm still learning to work with a lot of new information in my life, but it just really kind of came down to we both my wife Egan and I, we were stressed about it. We knew it was there. It was a thing. It was doing well on Turo and providing a lot of benefits. There was also just this whole like, is it too big of a liability that could create more pressure than we really need to be trying to fight right now? And sure. So I just kind of put it to her. I was like, you know, I was like, I did not pull the trigger on buying it until I talked to her. And she was like, yeah, it might be a good decision. Let's give it a try. Like, you know, we may not have more of these. And when, at the end of the day, I was like, do you think we should sell it? She's like, I think we should sell it. And I was like, that's good enough for me. So that's really the other half of that answer.
And I think only time will tell if you pick the perfect time to be able to pull out too. Because I did see at least some stirrings online this week of people saying that, oh, the aftermarket market is crashing for Cybertrucks. Like, I think the number was like a Cybertruck that was selling for $77,000. So I think that was what kind of sparked the discussion. I'm not sure of the legitimacy.
I would want to know more context about the $77,000 Cybertruck. Like, how many miles? Did it have body damage? Any of those kind of things, you know?
It's definitely kind of interesting because as we're seeing more and more hit the market, obviously those conditions are going to take. So we'll see how much, you know, the aftermarket stays with, you know, the retail, which for the most part we've seen it come right at retail, if not just a little bit above. You know, yeah. It's not like 200,000 like it was, but it's no. Still.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, the dealership that bought mine, he was like, yeah, you know, back in March I bought one of these for 190,000. And now, I mean, the price has collapsed here. But I think that it's important to note that, I mean, I don't remember how many people had mentioned. I know that you guys were on the Cybertruck forums because that's how we're here. But on the Cybertruck forum, there was – no, we were in the Tesla chat. Never mind. Doesn't matter. On the Cybertruck forum, somebody had contacted the first people who had posted that they had made it apparent, hey, I owned a Cybertruck. And a number of people got a message from somebody being like, hey, I'm in San Diego. I do business where, you know, import export of vehicles. I'm ready to give you up to $175,000 right now to sell it to me. And this was like February 1st is when I got my truck. I want to say that it was within a week that I got a message. So I kind of want to know what the overseas market is looking like for Cybertrucks. I feel like there's a lot of them are selling. Before, it used to be a premium early days kind of situation. But now I just think that there's probably enough demand of some folks overseas who are just like, I want one, bring it to me. And they're finding them for sale here.
I think there's less risk, though, because I know early days when I first put it up on Turo, I was worried about someone like driving it across the border and getting out of the country and putting it on a boat to go somewhere and resell it and make, you know, tens of thousands or whatever. But now I think that risk is a little lower now. But now that the supply is up, yeah, I'd be curious to see like what other countries are buying them for. Because didn't we see one just recently in Dubai? I saw on the internet too. So who knows where?
So I think that my early experiences with renting was I did a test drive with somebody for just I think it was like $200, and I was very appreciative of it. Let him drive everywhere. So I'm imagining it's like, okay, it's a rent without a full day rental thing, but whatever. But yeah, he had mentioned, he was like, yeah, you know, I've got my reservation in and I've got mine coming pretty soon. He's like, yeah, my buddy got his like 2 weeks ago, but he already sold it to somebody in Dubai for like 200,000. And I was like, whoa, that was the earliest, fuck it, let's just do this, and just sold it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know a guy that, and I think I told this story on the pod, but I'm not sure. Either way, but I know a guy that told me that when he actually picked up here in Irvine, and he says that when he picked up, he left, he went to go eat down the street right after delivery, and a guy approached him and said, "I'll give you, I forget exactly the dollar amount, but like $175,000 right now. I'll wire you the money right now if you sell it to me." And so he did it. He's like, I drove that thing for 5 minutes and I sold it to the guy and he wired me the money. And I was like, all right, I'm done. You know,
the Uber home.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that it was crazy in those times in the early days. I mean, I had so many offers from people. It was wild. Definitely.
I think that the last 4.5 years, but definitely the last 6 months of the saga of the Cybertruck will be probably a really fascinating several chapters in Tesla's story. But I'm looking forward to somebody years from now kind of looking back and doing all the research you know, taking all the hearsay out of it and just building a timeline of events, including the economics of how that, because I mean, we don't have any I don't think we have any American manufacturers that have this kind of a, you know, this kind of a weird 100% markup aftermarket within the first few months of it coming out. This whole fighting this, like literally Motor Trends and you know, other publications being like, we can't get our hands on these trucks except, you know, in collaboration with owners. Tesla doesn't give them any trucks to evaluate. They only, it's going to be really, really fun to see kind of once the plays are over and they can do a full analysis.
100%. Which I'm curious about that too, because I forgot to bring it up actually a couple weeks ago in the podcast, is I went by one of the local like Tesla showrooms, and I know where they park their vehicles for test drives, and there was a Cybertruck there in the parking lot, just one. But I still have not heard any stories of like Tesla actually offering test drives at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure what the story was there, but that was, you know, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
it's, I don't know. They need to start. I mean, I guess they don't need to. It doesn't matter. They're selling them either way.
Oh, that'd be fine. They can print on Turo.
Let's get into, you know, the big thing that's coming up, which is the shareholder meeting, which is next week, exactly 1 week from today.
All the invites went out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is something that, you know, is going to be a big telling point of where Tesla's going and what they're doing and how they're going to be doing it.
And I think that there's I definitely want to go on record as saying, I think that this meeting, this vote is going to reflect a lot of what I think is a, I think it's fair to extrapolate how this vote goes with a lot of other votes when it comes to confidence in companies over the next 5 years, of the you know, venture capitalist votes, the hedge funds, whatever, the independently wealthy, all these people who want to see risky, iconic, really out there, maybe problematic, or maybe Elon, just those kind of huge personalities, versus the traditional investors who are like, I don't want my CEOs making waves. Like, honestly, the public shouldn't know who you are. And I think that that is the mindset of two very different investors right now. And a lot of them are controlling a lot of the market, in my opinion, from everything from all the stuff that you've seen with GameStop and AMC, just sentiment driving investments and people who are new in all of this. I just think that this vote is going to really reflect, do you just have the entrenched legacy, timid, I guess, Warren Buffett, you know, time in the market beats timing the market types? Or do you have the people who want the firebrands, who are like, all these other companies are so boring, and this dude is out here releasing crazy vehicles, pushing boundaries, telling absolutely everybody, I don't give a shit what you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, AI, whatnot. You know, I think it's going to be a really interesting watershed moment, to the point where you can kind of distill a lot of information about the market as a whole from how this vote will go.
Right.
Yeah, this is huge. And I mean, when you go on their website and you click on their, you know, stockholder meeting link, I mean, look right here. I mean, one of the first things it says is, we need your vote, including on two important proposals, you know, and they're really pushing. I'm sure all of you guys have received, I don't know if you guys are stockholders, but I am. And
no comment.
Yeah. And I've got those emails, you know, where they're wanting you to vote. They need your vote. So,
and part of me is kind of like, all right, you know, for my previous statements about Tesla's, you know, kind of frustrating inability to communicate effectively about things. It's interesting how well they can tell you their opinion on your vote and try to encourage you in a certain direction. But we also can't answer the email about when Chase is going to get the rest of the voucher or Eric or,
exactly.
or anybody. It's like, you know, which it's great that you guys can do this blitz. Huh?
I did email them, by the way. They gave me the ring around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but in the past it was cute, but now, and I think that these are the things that are providing a really interesting context to this debate between the two groups, between the people who don't believe that Elon deserves the compensation package and the people who think that it does belong to him. So it's, you know, some people are just making, I think that there was more room to make the simple argument of, well, he built the company, he achieved his goals. And so you have to look at it in the context of the case where they were like, you know, it's not the matter of whether he met those goals. It's a matter of whether what he was being rewarded was appropriate for the longevity of the company, because future shareholders shouldn't have to wear this burden. Mm-hmm. And that's where they are now. So
that's actually a really good point. Yeah. It's not so much should he be there. It's more should he be compensated as much as they're trying to compensate him. Right.
Yeah.
That's really the question.
Well, I think that it was a part of his compensation, because I mean he's been rewarded with stock ownership over time anyway. Or I'm not entirely sure the financials of it, but I mean he's had at his command a significant amount of stock that he could sell to take a couple billion dollars here, or at least pledge them to take out loans and whatnot. So, sorry, my brain just went blank.
No. You're good. No, this is my take on it, right? Is that I do believe that Elon should be there. I don't know what Tesla would be without him moving forward. And so I do feel like he should be there. It's just if the company is not performing the way that they want it to perform, then there needs to be some scale back, right? You gotta scale back a little bit. You gotta sit there and go, okay, do we compensate you and give you what we promised or agreed upon way back when we were thriving? That is, you know, some adjustments sometimes need to be made.
Yeah,
that's my take, you know.
But I think that there's something interesting in that, because when you say, you know, it's like I think that there are investors who perhaps they're just asking the simple question of that very question that you said about. It's like I don't know what the company looks like without Elon. So the gamble is $56 billion in stock options, greater command of the company over the duration moving forward. Are those more expensive than the gamble of finding out how Tesla operates without Elon? You know,
I guess that's the biggest question. And we saw it actually in the last 4 years with Bezos, where he stepped down as CEO, but it was still executive chairman. But I'm wondering, I would assume that would be the only alternative in this case. It's like, okay, Elon would step down as CEO and then just be an executive chair and still have, you know, say in a lot of things. But then, is that going to sway investor opinion very negatively, which I would probably assume so, because all the headlines are going to just be like, oh, Tesla dumps Elon and yada, yada.
And I don't think Elon would want that.
No.
As far as just being, you know, just being there. You know what I mean? I don't think, I mean, let's be real. I mean, he built it to where it's at. Obviously, you know, when you're in this position, you have an ego, you know, and I don't think someone like that can just, you know, take that back seat, you know, approach and just go, okay, well, I'm just going to be like an advisor.
Not willingly, for sure.
I think that, like, there's been a couple of articles, you know, hinting at that probably were from information placed from inside sources, basically just saying, you know, I mean, If he loses this vote and doesn't get the compensation in the form of all that stock, it's not so much the money at that point. It's also the fact that he doesn't have as much control anymore because of where he's landed with selling off stuff to purchase Twitter and whatnot. So I think that I think that he's made it clear that he'd want to leave and go with XAI or do robotics with some other kind of a company that could easily make money to get something founded. So I think that he kind of is signaled through his PR folks or whoever he uses. Yeah, you know, if this doesn't go my way, leaving is very much on the table. So
yeah, I think that's what it is, right? He's going to look at it and go, okay, you guys aren't going to give me what I'm supposed to get, then peace out. I got other things to do. And good luck.
It's pivotal, for sure. Which I think we were talking about next week's schedule. I think we'd do a disservice if we didn't do it after the shareholders meeting, at least, if we can.
No, yeah, you're right. I think we have to. We have to. We'll figure it out. But yeah, maybe that's... Yeah, so then I think right there, I think you just hit it on the head. I think we got to do it next Thursday, right? Next Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Like, reports in live.
It's literally like, we can see the fork. We can see the fork in the road. And it,
hey, depending on what happens, we may need you, Chase, to go down to headquarters to Giga Texas and stand outside. Stand outside. And
I'll do it. I'll do the podcast from the truck, and then I'll like be like, hey, here's the Giga Factory.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You're like, it's the middle of the night, ain't shit going on, nobody cares here, but whatever.
This is the time lens.
This is the perfect thing. You just back your truck in, right? You can take do the podcast from the driver's seat, and then you can just use the camera and go into the rearview mirror, and you could see behind. Oh, wait, no, you can't. Never mind.
It'll be over the air update, don't worry. I forgot to link it to you, but there's another product that I hope that circulates around. I saw someone share about like exactly that. There was like a rear view mirror that was like a mirror, but then you flip the thing and then it switches to a digital mirror. Yeah, I agree. I think
that don't get me started, man.
Eric, no, that guy, the Jeremy Judkins dude who like popped up. Yeah, he literally just tweeted something like 4 hours ago. I just put it in the chat.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
It's the video, because he's like, why the Cybertruck badly needs this? It's like, yeah, it kind of does.
100%.
This is exactly what I'm saying. Right? I've been saying it from the beginning. I don't understand that right there. I can go and put in any car for like $150 at some shop somewhere down the street, right? They'll install that and put that for $150, $200.
Yeah.
I paid how much for my Cybertruck? Why couldn't they do this? I'm going to walk off the set.
That's it. That was the moment we lost him.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. It irks me. That and the home link.
The home link?
Yeah. What's going mute.
Oh, for the garage.
The garage door opener.
Yeah, I got you. He also did share a couple cool Easter eggs that are Tesla Easter eggs that also apply to the Cybertruck. I think we talked about them before. Like, there's one if you like click the charger button as when it's plugged in 10 times fast, it flashes in a rainbow pattern.
Yeah.
And then also if you ask it through the voice command, open butthole, it'll open up the charge port, which is classic.
Oh my god, I swear. Sometimes I'm like, these they consult directly with 13-year-old boys, I think, to design these trucks sometimes. They're like, what do you want to see? What if it says butthole, it opens up a truck.
Perfect. Remember this when you're voting in the shareholder meeting.
Like, shareholders are like, is this literally the only truck on the market? And when you ask it to open its butthole, the charging port opens.
Sorry, one more aside. I totally forgot about this that I did want to bring up on the podcast today that happened. There was another minor update, by the way. I don't know if you noticed in the last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Another minor update. My pet peeve of just saying minor update and they don't give us any kind of notes or what they fixed or what they didn't fix. Mm-hmm. But they did break something. I don't know if you noticed the turn signals lately. Eric, have you noticed? Do you use the auto-off feature with the turn signals? But you're muted, by the way. But if you notice, if you use that to merge lanes, when we've had it since the beginning, you merge lane and then it would turn off. Now it doesn't turn off anymore.
I haven't experienced that.
At least mine is not.
I haven't experienced that. I'm going to now pay attention, better attention, but I can't I drove it yesterday, or I drove it today. I didn't.
Like, it's either that or the switch for the auto turn off is somehow busted, because it's definitely on, yet I'll turn my turn signal on, I'll merge. When it usually turns off, it doesn't. It just stays on. So I have to manually click it off. So
that's odd.
And it's only the last week.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the what was it, 11? Like, dot 11 or whatever it was.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of switching gears a little bit. Talking about updates, is I wanted to get into the full self-driving. So it seems like 12.4.1 is releasing today to Tesla employees, and then Elon time, is stating that if that all goes well, they'll start pushing that out to customers this weekend. So that's actually encouraging to see. Yeah, it's, you know, that's what they need to do, is try to start getting that out to people, and then hopefully sometime soon we can get that on our Cybertrucks, right? I have some plans this summer to go on some trips, and I would like to have my at least autopilot. So
at
least autopilot. The full self-driving I'll wait on, but
say this, I don't know if you guys feel the same way about this. I feel like there's some fatigue with the fact that it's like, wasn't Tesla just absolutely screaming about FSD for like a solid month, telling everybody to try it, there's a trial, do it, it's on your cars, it's bulletproof, V12, V12.3, V12.4, like there was a full court press.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just like, I feel like there's this one tweet where it's like, 12.4.1 is going to go to employees sometime.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the most unthrilling thing. It's really, really difficult to keep up with sometimes with Tesla.
Well, it's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating because they tell you one thing and then it doesn't happen. I mean, look, or they don't tell you. Yeah, exactly. but didn't Elon say that? And it's still early June, but he said that Cybertrucks are going to get full self-driving by the end of June, right? Or am I crazy? I mean, that's what he said.
I thought that he had, said like June was like the earliest with 12.5, I think, was one of the most recent. And I think they were aiming for it. But I guarantee you, like, if it doesn't come to Cybertrucks, what they're going to say is, well, we said that it's going to come to 12.5, but I mean, not all the Cybertrucks at once or something, you know. They have to join the branch or something like that. I don't know.
Which I won't oust him on the podcast, but I do know one employee that just got it today.
Ooh, oh, really? Okay. That's progress.
Look at Chase is always name dropping over here.
I know.
You know, Sandy Monroe.
He's like, my buddy's had that feature for weeks now. Whatever. It's cool.
It's like the secondhand like high from Gigafactory. It expands at least like 100-mile radius around the Gigafactory.
Yeah, that's that's a good sign. It's true, right? They're pushing it up to employees, so that's good. Another thing, talking about full self-driving and all that, have you seen the new rider quality score and guest mode that they're hinting at the robotaxi, right? It's coming in August, and there's just little by little, we're kind of hearing more and more about how the app is going to be redone for RoboTaxi, and this is just kind of a few more examples of that.
Can we just call it Tuber?
Yeah, I would like to RoboTaxi.
What are they going to call it? I guess RoboTaxi, I don't know what, because if they're going to make it like a third-party app, or like its own app for ride-sharing specifically, I'm curious how they're going to spin it. Or they're just going to have everyone download the Tesla app, and then it'll just be a subset of that same app. I don't know.
I think that's probably what it'll
end up being.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that because they want to be able to integrate that into ownership. So it's like, okay, build the customers facing side first, while building the owner vendor facing side next. You know, get it so that okay, you're able to do ride sharing, and then you as the owner can say, hey, I'm doing ride sharing and picking people up or whatnot. And then down the road, they were like, okay, now as the owner, you don't even have to drive the car anymore. You can just go pick up passengers or whatnot.
Big news today was Rivian.
Yeah.
Rivian came out with their second generation R1, the R1T and the R1S. They mm-hmm. had to one up Tesla with the 2.6 Cyberbeast. Their new R1T can now go, obviously the top spec one, will go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds.
That's fair.
You know, they're having over 1,000 horsepower. They're doing new drive units. They're doing a lot of, you know, stuff to the UI. You know, they're increasing some range. It's a good thing. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, once again, the Cybertruck is moving the industry forward, right? Is getting 100%. Some of these other manufacturers to push the envelope a little bit, which is really, really nice.
So I will say one thing. I'm actually kind of happy that I have my R1S on a lease right now, because these new generation ones, it'll always be one of those things that kicks me in the ass. I've always been a computer nerd that, like, I'm like, damn it, you know, my specs are out, because six months later they come out with a new version of graphics card. Yeah. One of the cool specs that I saw for the R1S and R1T is that there's an integration of more lithium iron phosphate batteries. Hmm. So they use LFP batteries in some of the models, and it's over 400 miles of range. You can charge it to 100% every day, and the longevity of lithium iron phosphate is like literally 10 times that of lithium ion. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, this is another reason why I'm like, okay, I like seeing the moves, because I've kind of been interested in seeing which automaker would embrace what honestly is something that, you know, has been a lament of the EV industry about lithium ion batteries, is the whole, okay, well, you know, lithium mining is fairly innocuous if you do the, I guess, the brine leaching version versus if you do sulfuric acid to refine. But the batteries still require, for a lot of manufacturers that still do it, rare earth metals that require metal coming from pretty controversial places.
Mm-hmm.
And with lithium iron phosphate, you don't have a lot of those issues. You have a battery that weighs more, so it adds more weight to the vehicle, which can be kind of a detractor. But the longevity of that battery just can't be beat. It's like, I think 18650 batteries are like, what, 200 to 300 duty cycles per life before they lose 70% of their charge. I mean, that's why they tell you not to charge the car at 100% all the time, because mm-hmm. the more that you overcharge and complete those cycles, the more you're ushering in the batteries losing a significant amount of charge. LFP batteries just seem like they're the future for a lot of automotives. And, you know, I was stoked to see that Rivian's kind of leaning into that a bit. And I'm like, okay, I'm expecting more makers to do the same. The Tesla had, what is it? They're the Model Y, like short range or something like that. They have an LFP battery, Tesla.
Not to mention the range is over 400.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that they've been able to increase range, increase performance. A little side note, one thing that I pulled up here is, did you see this, the glass roof? You see what they're doing there?
Yeah. So it's like the frosted glass where you can like turn it on or turn it off.
Yeah. Whoa. It's like, I think it's electrochroma glass. They use it in the Boeing, Dreamliners. That's how they tint the windows for when the sun is out or whatnot. Cool. But yeah, it's really cool to see it in a vehicle. That's badass.
Yeah.
I never even thought of that until this last weekend. I was driving some friends around, and they're like, "Oh man, you can get a real sunburn from the window." And I'm like, "I never even thought about that." Even with like the Tesla tint, I guess it does actually radiate still quite a bit of sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've never had any issues with that.
No.
To getting a sunburn or anything, but.
It's great to see. I mean, I think Rivian's, obviously this is never any kind of like investing advice, but they're in a great position, because they've actually hit an all-time low, and now they're kind of poised for a comeback, and this is like perfect timing for them to like come back right underneath the shadow of Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and they can immediate like an immediate marketable personality trait that they have is like, hey, we're Rivian, we make, you know, electric SUVs, and you have no idea who our CEO is. You know, everyone's like, we make cars, yeah, and everyone likes them, and everyone likes driving them, and you honestly will never see our CEO in the news or anything. But, so,
the question is, when are they going to be able to turn profitable? Because I keep hearing that they're losing still like tens of thousands on every single vehicle they're making.
I think that it's the same. I mean, you know, Tesla, they lost money on all the Model S's and X's for a long time. Yeah. Until they became profitable with the Model 3, and that wasn't even until after the ramp, and really Model 3 just deliveries were just taken off everywhere, and they were manufacturing in mass. I think that that's what they're looking to do with the R2 and the R3 and the R3X series. Like, they're already showing, it's like, okay, here's our smaller, less luxurious, you know, manage expectations view, and then the R3 seems to be kind of like the R3X, I feel like, got a lot of hobbyists and you know, streetcar, you know, speed addicts just being like, ooh, okay, all right. And I mean, I was actually gonna ask Eric before when you saw it in person, because I think that the photos made it look like a Volkswagen Golf size.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, no. I got the impression of something very small, like, no, disappointingly small but sporty or something.
No, it's not small like that. No,
yeah.
Not
at all. Yeah. So,
what can I compare it to? It's not quite the size of a RAV4. It's, if I had to, just looking at it for a few minutes, it's probably in between a Model 3 and a Model Y. That's probably where it's at, you know, or maybe it's like a Model 3, but it has that hatchback. It's not that small. It's not that small.
Okay.
It's a nice size.
It's interesting you bring up size, because that was one thing that I had a couple of renters had brought up. They had driven our Cybertruck, and they were surprised about the amount of room inside and the general size of the Cybertruck in comparison to the R1T. They're like, yeah, mm-hmm. I ridden with my, you know, friend. He had an Rivian, blah, blah, blah. They just didn't like it because it's basically like a mid-sized pickup rather than a full-sized pickup.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. When I did my video with John, he has a Rivian, and I drove his Rivian, and it was very comfortable, drove really nice, no issues whatsoever with, I can't complain about the vehicle. But for me, the size, I want something bigger. You know,
totally.
I want a full size truck, or at least that feel of a full size truck. And I didn't, you know, from the size of the bed, to the width of it, to the height of it, just everything for me. Beautiful, beautiful vehicle. But for my needs and what I need it for, it wasn't. I need a full size truck. I love Rivians. I just love them. I think they're beautiful cars. So I couldn't use the R1T.
But worth discussion is also, so some of the other stuff that I saw on Twitter that they've announced is, so we're getting some software updates this summer, and I don't remember if they said that the two were connected, that there are features coming this summer and that the things I'm about to mention are coming this summer, but I just know that they're both very soon. One of the, I guess, the stings of ownership is that the R1S comes with a hotspot feature and unlimited LTE connection, so you can provide internet to everybody sitting in your car. You give them the Wi-Fi. It even has a QR code on the screen, so you can just scan it. You're right in and using the car's data. So now they've announced a premium connectivity subscription that will be, I guess, retroactively required, because everybody who's had a Rivian, they're supposedly getting 1 year free. And so the vehicles that have already been in ownership for a year will have to immediately subscribe to this new premium connectivity thing versus like, I don't think that I'll have to subscribe to it until I hit the 1 year mark, which will be in March, I think. So one of the killer features that everybody raved about for the Rivians was they would integrate Google's Chromecast capabilities. So if you were connected to that hotspot, you could cast a movie to the main display or the rear display eventually would be coming down the road and really kind of use some of those things. And then also Rivian was going to expand significantly the number of music software apps that they had to include. I think that they have Tidal right now, but they were going to include Apple Music. They were going to redo Spotify, just a bunch of things. And
nice.
now it's all going to be under the monthly subscription. So I think that, you know, I think that there's one of the signs of Rivian kind of fighting back into profitability. It's being like, okay, we've got enough cars on the road now. We can't afford to float the cost of this huge of a fleet and subsidize their LTE costs. So, you know, and the price is going to be something like $14.99 a month and paid annually. It's like $149. Whereas Tesla's is, I think, still $99 for the year or $9.99 mm-hmm. a month.
A month, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Do you know actually if their hotspot's available while the vehicle's driving?
Yes.
But that's yeah. a big, because I know, I just realized that the Cybertruck does have a hotspot capability for their internal Wi-Fi, but mm-hmm. it's only while you're parked.
Oh,
you can't access it while you're driving. So that's a big kind of a selling point.
What is that on?
Yeah, I mean,
if you go to Wi-Fi, you can actually create a hotspot, but it's only available while you're parked.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm.
I didn't know that you can actually do that.
It got snuck in there in like one of the last few updates, but there's another like tab just for Wi-Fi. You can create a hotspot.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, well, my RAM had that. When you're driving, it had a hotspot, so my son would be on his iPad or his Nintendo Switch or whatever, and
kids are on the tablets in the back seat. So it works while driving. We used it on our trip to Vegas back in March.
Nice.
And then the last thing about Cybertruck versus R1T, just shout out to one of my renters was some guys from the startup called Chargely, another EV startup. And they make this app that's basically trying to make EV kind of ownership a little more accessible, especially for non-Tesla owners. And they brought their R1T down from Maine and then rented my truck and drag race both of them, and it did completely. The quad motor R1T just slapped the dual motor. Like,
really?
No comparison, but now we know. So, actual numbers now.
I think that it, you know, for right now, being more cost conscientious until my industry kind of lets me be more fun again. The I'm very happy with the R1S dual motor, but there is definitely a punchiness that is missing in it. If you want that little bit of extra electric vehicle leap when you tap the throttle, you're definitely going to want like the dual motor performance, or I think is the next one, and then there's the quad motor. So if you're looking for that, you know, I want to be able to smoke somebody off the line at an intersection with everybody, like your whole family in the car. You want the quad motor or the dual motor performance, because mine's still got a very, very solid performance. You know, it's absolutely what I need right now, but you know.
I mean, unless we invest in an RV trailer anytime soon, I probably, if I had to like offload the Cybertruck tomorrow, I would probably buy Model 3 Performance 100%. I've already convinced myself that half the cost, a little bit faster.
So at that expo I was at, they had a Model 3 Performance.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That thing, you guys are going to kill me. I was supposed to drive it.
And?
But I got tired.
What?
I'm getting old, okay?
Oh, you got tired?
I got tired. And I was there with my buddy. He was helping me film. And he was like, are you going to go drive it? I said, nah, I'll do it tomorrow. This was on Saturday. I was like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. Uh-huh. I'll do it tomorrow. No problem. I never got around to it. But I saw it in person. That thing is cool.
Mm-hmm. Looks sick.
The seats, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I would love to buy that as just a fun little car to drive around. Yeah. That thing is cool. But I'll drive it.
Black satin wrapped.
They had it in red. That thing looked amazing. With white interior, I'd probably do that. The red with the red, white interior. It's nice.
Or $55,000? Like you can't
it's a steal. It's a steal. It really is. for what you're getting.
My first F-150 was almost that much.
Yeah. That's but you know, when you're talking about red cars, performance, all that, you know, that you get into that where cops are looking at you, you may get tickets, and then what ends up happening is your insurance rises, right? And so another thing I wanted to talk about, segue, you like that, is Tesla has hired Geico executive Alan Labin to try to help lower their insurance costs.
Much needed.
So I recently sold my wife's Model S, and because she was the main primary insurance holder for our Tesla insurance, I couldn't remove her off of the off of our insurance, and so I had to cancel the whole insurance and then put myself with the Cybertruck. Well, my insurance premium just went up because of that, and so I'm almost at $300 a month, which is crazy, man. I'm really excited about this. It went up like $60, $70. That's what they're doing. They hired this executive, and hopefully they're hoping that he's going to help them lower their insurance costs for people, which is much needed, because I know Chase, your insurance went up recently. And
well, I mean, like I said, I won't name names, but I know even someone in the insurance side there at Tesla that had quit using their own insurance. So like, this is clearly an issue that we've seen happen, and the fact that they're trying to use an algorithm in their drive score, the drive safety score, to vary interest or vary rates for insurance, and it's not, I don't think it's working out. I think people are dumping it hand over fist, if I had to guess. Like my story is not the only one. For instance, it went from I saw the peak of 460 a month, but there was anecdotes of other people saying like $500 and $600 a month for insurance. So it's not working. So whatever they need to do, they need to fix it. Since then we've actually switched over to Progressive, which I've seen a lot of other stories on the forums and things of people saying the same thing about switching to Progressive. And then I'm not sure Geico, there's another one that someone has been mentioning, but Progressive seems like to have the best rates right now, that they're still insuring it for pretty good rates. Currently it's $165 a month for our Cybertruck on top of our other stuff that we've got with Progressive.
Yeah, so I need to do something because this is ridiculous. But hopefully Mr. Laban will help me out. We'll see.
You can do it.
I think that it sounds like the whole insurance industry is in a very shit spot right now. And I kind of wonder how much of that's affecting Tesla, because since they're so new to the game, it makes you wonder. It's like, there's so many kind of entrenched insurance companies that have been doing it for so long that they probably have cash reserves and accounting records that help, you know, limit them from exposure to certain whatever, you know, just to the point where it's like, okay, so it might just be one of those growing pains early days. And also, my understanding, they're kind of one of the first companies that has as deep a level of integration of your insurance costs connected to your driving habits, or at least the markers that they value.
Right, which are unfounded, I feel like. Because
completely.
We had a drive score, safety score of 92. 92, that was enough for them to say, oh, no, you don't pay us $260 a month, you pay us $460 a month.
Yeah,
going from 95 to 92. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all for any kind of consumer basis. But I think that what we're seeing, though, is just like any other industry, like you've seen with film, we've seen animation and games and everything. The AI effect is happening, I think, even with insurance. Someone's sitting at, like, you know, whatever insurance company, and they're like, all right, let's put it to ChatGPT, see what's going on. Now all of the algorithms are figuring out all the bullshit that's been happening in insurance for like the last, you know, 40 years. And now they're trying to figure out what to do from here. I think that's kind of what the big shakeup we're seeing is.
That's a good point.
Hopefully it's a good thing in the end, but I don't necessarily know. Like, underwriting is going to be an issue because for the longest time, I feel like the risk was kind of like up in the air, and people just kind of like turned a blind eye to it. And then if it happened, it happened. But when that risk is like in your face and it's day to day, that's the risky part. Because I feel like that's what I didn't like. And I actually, it was a red flag when I initially realized that, okay, Tesla's insurance is going to adjust month to month based off of your driving habits. I'm like, this could go bad.
Yeah.
Or it could go great. But most of the time it went bad. So it never went like, oh yeah, I just bought my Cybertruck and my insurance premiums went down the next month.
No.
It said nobody ever.
So, yeah, no, okay. Never. Yeah.
I kind of think insurance is one of those things where the actuarial tables is like when you have it attached to the fine grain of how somebody actually drives. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need an algorithm that's so advanced to be able to read that and not freak out.
Yeah.
Or to just evaluate it on much simpler terms. And I think that's why, you know, legacy insurance companies, they just work on the actuarial. I remember back when it was, you know, oh, if you drive a red car, your insurance is going to go be mm-hmm. higher. And it's like, even that was outdated, but accurate, because that's something that they might have used beforehand to be like, oh, this car is kind of a higher profile. And yeah. Now that they're starting to literally every forward collision warning, every little thing yeah. along the way, anytime the autopilot yells at you, maybe, you know, like all these things that they're building into the price that people are like, I don't usually get dinged for like just picking my nose for a moment in the car, but it seems like that's what's happening to the point where people are like, this isn't better. You know, I can get cheaper at Progressive or whoever. The less integrated it is to it. So my hope is that, yes, by hiring somebody outside the insurance industry, that somebody, I'm sorry, not outside of Tesla, but, you know, somebody from that industry,
yeah,
maybe they can have some new guidance on how to move forward.
Hope so.
Yeah. I think that's the plan, and that's, I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed. But we're at that time where we want to talk about the wrap of the week as well as what were they thinking. So let's start with the what were they thinking. This gentleman decided to put some very interesting wheels on his Cybertruck.
Looks like something out of Ben Hur. Oh.
Wait. just notice it's also lowered all the way down.
Oh my.
Just putting that out there.
It is lowered. Oh my.
There's like no clearance. Oh my goodness.
I don't think it's lower. Is it lowered aftermarket? Is it lowered even lower, or is that just on low?
I mean, I don't know.
Looks like low, but I don't know. I would
nonetheless. I mean, like the segment says, what were they thinking? Yeah. I don't understand it. Other than, you know, they're having their vehicle on our podcast, and you know, maybe that's mm-hmm. what they were thinking. They're like, yeah. Hey, how do we get on keep on cyber trucking?
they're really trying hard, and we fell yeah. for the bait.
Yeah. Now,
granted, give it 2 months and they unlock full self-driving for this, and then someone tries to summon this into a parking lot and it just breaks through all of the other cars.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, yeah. Oh no, and we're gonna be like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think that the guy at the Upland Service Center who says that the lug nuts are falling off of the trucks because they're swapping wheels, this is why. That's probably my truck. Look at that thing.
Yeah, that is your truck.
Damn yeah. This is wild.
You got me, guy.
So.
Is that even like legal? Can you even drive that on the street? I feel like that's just a danger. Like, that's if you're going to tell me, I put those on my car because, like, the car's just going to sit in the garage because I'm obscenely wealthy and I collect things. I'm like, okay, yeah. That's fine. Do you, whatever. But it's like when I'm turning left in Ben Hur's chariot slashing through the side of my car, I'm going to be like, dude, really? They'll drive out here. Come on.
Well, you know, and you guys drive by EVs. How many times are you in a parking lot and there's pedestrians walking around, they don't even know you're driving, right? Behind them.
Oh,
imagine
man.
This. You come up next to them and you clip them with the side of your wheel. Hey, I was here.
The first one's the warning.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So that was what were they thinking, or as Mark in the chat says, what were they smoking?
What were they smoking? Now we're talking. Smoking. Yes.
Yeah. And then the first wrap of the week is a wrap from Puerto Rico. It's a all gold wrap, which I wouldn't personally do, but I think what caught Chase's in my eye was the beautiful scenery. So it's a very different wrap. They're bold for doing it. I give them points for that. And I mean, look at that view.
Is it the only one in Puerto Rico? I want to know.
It is in Puerto Rico. I don't know.
Is that a wrap or is that something like?
No, it's a
something
wrap.
Else. I thought that Jerry Rig Everything. I thought that he had done a video recently. Let me see if I can find it. Because he had, like, they said that they electroplated a Cybertruck.
Well, they gold plated it, and that's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. Sorry,
like this reaches a little higher level than what Jerry Rig did. Because I feel like this okay. looks a lot better than what they came out with. Like,
oh, definitely.
Maybe the level of effort what they did was higher, but this I think looks way better at the end.
Oh, this looks way better, but like that one's like actual gold that they
they actually put gold.
It's kind of sick and stupid as all hell, but yeah, still you know.
Yep.
Like no, this looks hot. I like seeing what everybody does with these.
Yeah,
he's got the Cybertruck tag on the back. That's awesome.
I think that's where I'm at with it. Is it's not. I wouldn't do it, but. I can appreciate the fact that somebody did.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Kudos. So that was the wrap of the week.
Oh, they did. I was going to ask if they like covered up the lug nuts and the cap, but you can kind of see a little cap in there. It's inset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got something in there.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. He's got lug nut covers, so his lug nuts don't get stolen.
Yeah. Careful, guys. Rough on them.
Those Turo renters, they're stealing lug nuts.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. So that's all we got. I think we covered pretty much everything. I think next week is going to be a big podcast.
It's that week between or like the week before the Super Bowl. You know, all you can do is talk about what's coming up. So you're just like, all right, you know,
pregame.
Yeah, that's it's. I'm gonna be in Florida, but it's like I'm gonna be on my phone. You know, like just. What's going on, you know, trying to figure out what's the latest. So that's why, Chase, we need you there at the scene. We need that, you know, if the building gets lit on fire, you got to be the first to report it to us.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say my afternoon is pretty meeting light that day. So, yeah,
okay.
I definitely can run over there if I need to.
Let's hope that you don't have to. How about that?
Exactly.
Let's
hope it all goes well. So, all right, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you to all the guys, everybody in chat. You know, Mark, Will. Hugo, Jay, Mike, Bill, Ben, all you guys, everybody in chat. Appreciate you guys. And next week, we'll be doing it on Thursday again because of the Tesla shareholders meeting. So
sounds good.
All right, guys.
Yep.